Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Barbara Marina, Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guides and Magazines, and Skipper Bob Publications invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you whether you are dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit our store at www.greatloop.org/store. Thanks, and enjoy the show.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I guess we don't have an intro going.
Okay, well, then I'll just go into it. Welcome to all our listeners to America's Great Loop Cruisers Association Weekly Blog Radio. With us today, as usual, is Steve Cromer, and I'm Janice Cromer, the director of AGLCA. I hope there's a lot of non-members out there listening to the show, but just in case you don't know what the Great Loop is, it's the continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America, which does encompass the Atlantic and Gulf intracoastal waterways, the Great Lakes, the Canadian Heritage Canals, and the inland rivers of America's heartland. AGLCA, as we like to call ourselves, is an organization of people who share a sense of adventure and curiosity. Our association's purpose is to get you as much information as possible to be able to enhance the overall experience. Our website is www.greatloop.org, and we'd love for you to visit and become a member. The annual migration of our loopers are getting into Canada now, and we'd like to expand on their adventures. A few weeks ago, Harbor host Don Bennett guided us through the Trent Severn and the approach to Georgian Bay. This week, we've invited AGLCA sponsor Mark Coles, the mover behind the website Boating Georgian Bay, to be our co-host. Mark will talk about the northern part of Georgian Bay, the North Channel, and the 30,000 islands, as you call it, Mark?
Yes, the 30,000 islands, yeah.
30,000 islands. Well, here's Mark. Mark, say hello to our listeners and just jump in whenever you'd like.
Okay. Hi, folks. Glad to be here to talk to you today. I guess you've been brought up to date coming through the Trent, and I guess the first thing to talk about maybe, I know we hear all the time that people are afraid of the water levels and they're afraid of rocks in Georgian Bay. And I just want to put your mind at rest there. You know, very few boaters run into problems, but basically if you watch your charts and you stay in the channels or when going into anchorages that are unmarked, just watch your charts and go in carefully, somebody on a bow watch. Water's very clear. You won't have any problems. I mean, I've been running around there with a 52-foot boat for a number of years and never dented a prop. So it's just a question of being careful. You can't kind of fall asleep at the helm and, you know, be distracted in some areas, you know, when you're heading north, because there are cuts and sections where, you know, they're very narrow. I mean, there's a few passes, depending on what route you take, where, you know, you'd slow down almost to a dead stop to, you know, go through a very narrow section of channel type thing and, you know, give the security in advance and go on through. But if you're careful, you won't have a problem.
Okay, so it's just a matter of just watching and being a responsible boater.
Yeah, I mean, you should be looking at your plotter, and I don't, depending on what you have, but I tend to keep two views open, something very close and something a little farther off for perspective. And if I don't know the area well that I'm in, you know, I always have the paper charts open as well. And it's just a question. Most people will never run into problems in the waterway itself in the channel. It's when they get off, you know, going into anchorages and stuff like that, that they run into problems. I mean, the thing about Georgian Bay is, you know, you can be actually out of sight of land in some areas and be in a rock channel where, you know, either side of the boat there's not a foot of water, and you can't see land, right? So that's the way it is as you get further north, and there'll be most of the time. Yeah, and you know, if the weather's bad, you know, you'll stay put, or you'll take it's not just one route. There's many kind of offshoot routes and stuff that you can take that are, you know, more or less sheltered, right? Uh-huh. So, you know, you'll just be careful of that, and you'll watch the weather and watch your charts, and you know, if you've made it this far up from Florida or the Bahamas or wherever your starting point was, and you've made it this far up to Georgian Bay, you shouldn't have any problems. So the trickiest part that's the highest risk is right when you come out. I don't know if Don talked about this, Don Bennett, but right when you come out of the Trent, you know, at the 400 highway overpass by near Port Severn there, there's a rock ledge there that's pretty tight, and you got to be, you know, centered in the channel. There's a bit of a current there. Other than that, and not many boats have a problem there, but you just have to pay attention. Other than that, you know, if you just pay attention to what you're doing, watch your charts, you're not going to have a problem. And the water levels are back up considerably from where they were. They're at, you know, the low chart datum and climbing. Georgian Bay water levels can be affected by wind in a big way. If you get a long, sustained wind for several days, let's say from the south, it'll empty out the bottom end of the bay, you know, by a foot or more, right?
Yeah.
And vice versa. So, you know, you have to, you'll, if you're at a dock at a marina and you're staying at a marina for a couple of days, let's say down at Midland or something, and you get really strong, sustained winds from the south for a couple of days running, you'll notice the boat falling down, you know, the water level's going down. It basically just sucks all the water right out of the south end of the bay.
Are most of the marinas fixed piers or floating docks?
Mixture. Some of the bigger marinas have both, and the smaller marinas tend to have, they could really have either. I would be, you know, misleading you to say that they generally have floating docks, but they could very well have either. You'll find both. The marinas that have, you know, the fixed docks generally have gangways, you know, that come down to the fixed dock portion, and
yeah.
You know, you might have to climb down a foot or climb up a foot, but they tend to adjust these docks seasonally, right?
Uh-huh. Okay, well, why don't you take us on what your recommended route would be?
Okay, so first thing is I want to say the big mistake that loopers always make is they rush up to get to the North Channel. And I'm going to talk about the North Channel a little bit, too. It's a wonderful place, and, you know, we'll talk about that. But, you know, going up through the 30,000 islands, which basically starts almost as soon as you get into Georgian Bay, you know, once you're in the Midland, you can see the first island, Bosley Island, right from the town, right?
Uh-huh.
And going up those 30,000 islands, I mean, that's the UNESCO World Heritage Biosphere site, and it's spectacular. And, you know, if you're kind of running up through there in 2 days to get to the North Channel, you're making a big mistake. You really need to take the time to, you know, smell the roses along the way there. That's going to give you a lot of memories. It's the best cruising in the world. It's the best freshwater cruising in the world. And arguably, it's as good as any cruising in the world. You might find the coast of B.C. between Victoria and Alaska might be, you know, kind of top of your list comparable. You know, the Chesapeake would fall somewhere, you know, down just below. And the Bahamas are a great, great place to warm up in the wintertime. But, you know, you won't see this kind of spectacular scenery, you know, these weird rock formations and windswept pines and the kind of, you know, isolation and wilderness and the pure massive amount of anchorages, more than you could stay in every night for the rest of your life. You just won't see that anywhere else in the world. So don't rush through that. That's something that you want to savor. My recommendation would be that when you come into the bay, you spend a couple days at Midland. Midland's got, you know, you can stay at Y Heritage Marina or Park Bridge. They're both sponsor marinas. And from there, you're central to a lot of attractions. You know, Midland's a fair-sized city, and you can go and see the SS Keewatin, which is about 5 years earlier than the Titanic. It's got the same propulsion system as the Titanic. And it's a pre-Edwardian steamer, and it's right beside Y Marina, almost in Port McNichol. And, you know, right at Y, I mean, just down the road, you've got, you know, the Y Marsh and St. Maria among the Hurons, which you can learn all about the Huron Indian village and where the history of the area and the Martyr Shrine. And so there's just a lot to do in the Midland Penetang area. You should maybe set aside a day or two there, and you can provision there. It's a great place to provision. And then from Midland, I would go to Honey Harbor if you want another marina. And South Lake Cove is a really nice little boutique marina there, and they're also a sponsor like the Park Ridge Marinas, Bayport and Y. And they'll treat you really well there. And from Honey Harbor, I would go up into the Bone Island area. It's not very far from Honey Harbor, and I'd spend the night there. There's lots of neat anchorages. There's Hockey Stick, they call Hockey Stick Bay. There's Languista Bay there, Brown Bay. There's just sheltered anchorages everywhere. You can take your pick, and you know you're within about 5 minutes from any different anchorage. You can move around if you want, right? Tour them by dinghy.
So do you recommend, Bone Island area. I guess you would recommend that our cruisers have dinghies.
Yeah, it's really nice to have, because some of the islands in the many of the islands are park islands, and so you can actually hike around the islands. Like even Beausoleil, if you stay, you know, the top end of Beausoleil at Frying Pan Bay, you know, you can spend a good part of the day hiking around those islands.
Beautiful.
Just be a little bit careful. You're very unlikely to see them, but you know, our only poisonous snake in Ontario is in this area. Because it's so rugged, the 30,000 islands, we have Massasauga rattlers, which are endangered and protected, so don't kill them. But, you know, you don't want to just go tramping around anywhere through the bush or let your dog loose, and you know, because, you know, a good chance that a dog, you know, might sniff one out type thing. Eh? They're not as powerful as rattlers like you have, you know, down in the southern states, but you're going to a hospital for a few days if you get bit by one. So I don't want to scare people. They're very well camouflaged. You won't commonly see. They're very shy. They generally, you know, hunt at night. But I don't want people to think that when you have a dog, keep them on a leash when you're going on islands to hike and move around on islands.
But do you feel it's safe enough to be able to hike around the island?
Oh, yeah, everybody does. I mean, everybody does. I mean, I cringe a little bit when I see kids hiking around with you know, flip-flops and bathing suits and think, you know, what are their parents thinking? But, you know, chances are you'll never see one. But if you go on our site, actually, there's information on everything on there, including I believe there's a story on the Massasauga right now that's recent that's being put up on the Message in a Bottle page. So if you go on the site and browse around, you'll find...
Tell everybody, Mark has a fantastic page on Boating Georgian Bay. Anything you need to know is on that page. Mark, why don't you give us the address and tell us and just make sure we have that?
Yes, it's www.boatinggeorgianbay.com. www.boatinggeorgianbay.com. And it has, like, all the marinas, all the water depths, marina contact numbers, everything about marinas, the fuel information, you know, anchorages, restaurant reviews, attractions and events, even shipwreck information. It has everything that you'd want to know about the area.
It's really a great site. I recommend all of our cruises visit it before they get there. Mark, Midland, 3 days, enough time?
Yeah, I would say 2 days or 3 days, depending. You know, I know normally I'd say three or four even, but with people, you know, coming up late because of the lock closures, I know they'll be anxious when they get up there. I just hope they just don't kind of hit Midland and then, you know, run all the way up to Parry Sound and then all the way up to Killarney and you know, miss the 30,000 islands, right? So,
Tell us a little bit more about the 30,000 islands and how much time you would recommend.
Okay, so after Midland and Honey Harbor and then Bone Island area, I would, if you want to see, you know, the blue, aqua blue water, you know, kind of early on, which you'll see up in the, as you get up to Killarney as well, you can zip across to what's called the Caribbean North, which is Christian Island, Hope Island, and Beckwith. And those three islands are just like less than an hour from Bone Island, and it's like the Caribbean there. It's all sand beaches, and Christian Island is an Indian reserve, but you can, you know, anchor your boat and walk in on the sand and hang out on the beach, and it's all, you know, the water's clear blue 30 feet down. From Beckwith Island, or that group of islands, I would go back into the waterway, into the inland waterway, and I would head up to Port Rawson. And there's a Port Rawson, you go a ways back. You just kind of follow the markers and follow your charts carefully. It's not all charted. Not all the depths are charted, but there's a nice, clear, pretty well-marked route into it. You'll see lots of other boats going in, so you can always follow somebody in. When you turn off to go into Port Rawson, you'll also be looking at Henry's restaurant, which is the pickerel restaurant on the island. And you can stay overnight at Henry's as well. They've got a marina there. But if you go into Port Rawson, you want to anchor, and you go into Port Rawson, it's a ways back in, but you can come back out by dinghy to go to Henry's for dinner. And if there's a group of you, sometimes Henry's will actually send a shuttle in and pick you up and take you back. So that's Port Rawson's a nice place to stay for a night. And then from Port Rawson, you'd probably go up and hit Parry Sound. Parry Sound's a nice town, lots going on. You can provision there, stay in one of the marinas there, spend a night. And then from Parry Sound, you'll go up through Port of Barrel, which is, you know, you'll see the scenic lighthouse there. And you really have a choice whether you're going to jump outside for a bit and head up Georgian Bay, or whether you're going to go up to Britt and head into Britt maybe for a night. Britt has Wright's Marina there, which is a sponsor as well. And Britt's really known for they've got lots of anchorages in the area there as well. But Britt's really known for the fabulous fishery and the pickerel they have in there. So the best pickerel I've ever had anywhere in my life has been in Britt. So that's the stop you could make. It's a ways in, but it's a nice little stop to make. If you're going outside from Port of Barrow or Britt, for that matter, when you leave Britt, the place I would stop next before going into Killarney would be the Bustard Islands. And the Bustard Islands is a beautiful group of islands, very well sheltered, a little tricky to get into until you get your bearings, but very well marked. You know, you'll be paying attention to your charts. Once you get in there, you get into the anchorage there. It's a great place to dinghy around. It's totally sheltered. There's three lighthouses there, one that's kind of working and two that are like historic lighthouses. It's a very isolated area. The rock formations are gorgeous, totally beautiful in terms of the scenery. And it's just a great place to spend a night there to head out. From there to Killarney, it's not a very big stretch. And you can get over to Killarney. When you get to Killarney, you're really at the gateway to the North Channel. So up to now, we've been talking about essentially the area in the 30,000 Islands, which is the UNESCO World Heritage Site. And then once you get to Killarney, you're kind of entering the turf of the North Channel.
Okay, then I think this is a good place to quickly stop for a commercial, if you don't mind, Mark.
Sure.
One of our great sponsors, Northport Bay Boatyard, would like you to know a little bit something about them.
Northport Bay Boatyard is a complete marine service facility located on Grand Traverse Bay in Northport, Michigan. They feature over 85,000 square feet of heated storage, and they are offering loopers a 10% discount on heated storage, as well as a winter labor rate of $75. That's a $10 discount off their usual rate. For more information, visit www.npbby.com or call 231-386-5151. Northport Bay Boatyard is a proud commander sponsor of AGLCA.
Thanks, Beth. Mark, before we get started on the North Channel, just a little bit of information. I guess, how isolated is it, and can you expect to see other boats when you're in the 30,000 Islands area?
Yeah, most of the anchorages on the way up, you're going to see the major anchorages, you're going to see other boats there. There are so many kind of inland areas and other anchorages. I mean, if you wanted to be in an anchorage all on your own, there's no problem to find that whatsoever. Matter of fact, you could find it every night for wanted to find an anchorage with no boat in it. People have no idea, like when you're running up the waterway, up the channel, how much other waterways that branch off that go kind of inland. And, people hear about the popular ones, and they tend to stay to the popular anchorages and stuff like that. But if you want to gunk hole around, I mean, if you're going to take 2 years or something to do it, which some boaters do, you know, they stay over in the wintertime, put their boat up, fly back, and come back and spend another year. If you want to gunk hole around, there's just an unbelievable amount of places that you can go. And if you want to be all alone, you can be all alone. If you want the security, having other boaters nearby, you just stick to the more common anchorages. Once you get into the North Channel, you're going to see, generally all the main anchorages. You're always going to see other boats there. On the way up through the 30,000 islands, because there's so many possibilities, there's so many possibilities that you could, if you want to be have privacy, you can have privacy.
Okay, so basically you can have either if you want. Most of our boaters are social animals, and they like to cruise with other loopers. But again, if you want the privacy, you can get it up there. That's great. Okay, tell us about the North Channel now. How much time should we leave to be able to do the North Channel?
Well, I would say, here's the conundrum, right? To do the 30,000 islands and the North Channel, I guess I would say properly, or even I could stretch that and say in a hurry, to do it properly, you really need at least, in my mind, about 20 days. Now,
okay,
some people won't have that 20 days if they're coming up late, and they're going to be worried about, getting on to Michigan by, the beginning of September. The noise I hear about Michigan and the situation there, there's lots of places like that. I mean, it's not like you won't have days to travel. You'll have lots of days to travel. So you really have, an extra week kicking around if you want to use it. I personally would stay in the North Channel, work my way up slower and stay in the North Channel until at least the end of the first week of September. And then I would work my way, this whole, it's not a light switch. It's not like all of a sudden you can't travel Michigan, the weather went bang, and there's lots and lots of days to travel, and it's not going to be a problem for you. So people shouldn't panic about that. So once you get into the North Channel,
we'll probably be covering Lake Michigan in the blog radio in the next week or the week after. So those cruisers out there that are worried about it, we will give you a little bit of help. But even with 20, 25 days, we've still got time. It's people that are just coming into Canada now, they don't really have to rush it.
Yeah, people tend to, they get onto the Trent, and the Trent's lovely, and it's a beautiful canal system. But, I would be, it's scenic and all that, but I would be working my way up the Trent as fast as I could.
Really?
Because you haven't even got into the candy store yet, right?
Uh-huh.
So people tend to say, oh, this is beautiful along the Trent. And they might stay a few days in one spot and a few days here in another spot. It's all fine, but if you've got limited time, get up to the bay, right? Because that'll be the highlight of your whole loop, in my opinion. I think most loopers that have done it would agree with that. So
yes, we have.
That will be your highlight.
Feel the Canadian waterways are just the most beautiful. And these people have been to the Bahamas, so they have something to compare it with.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I've been up and down the east coast of the Bahamas and back, and I haven't done the other side of the loop, the inland side, but I've done the coast up and down of the Bahamas and spent, winters in the Bahamas on my boat, and it's fabulous, but, you're not going to see anything like this, right, when you get up to the Georgian Bay and the North Channel.
Well, once you get to
Killarney, which is the gateway, I would spend a day or two in Killarney. It's a cute little historic marine town. I mean, they only got roads into Killarney back in the 60s. There's a fishing fleet there. There's a Herbert's fishery there, small fishing fleet. And, it's just a really cute town and a lot going on. You can stay at Killarney Mountain Lodge at the Sportsman Inn. And if you like to watch boats come in and out, it's kind of a gathering point where people come through. So you'll see boats from all over the place, even boats from, that are from Europe and stuff like that come over and come into the North Channel, right? They work their way.
So it's a very interesting place to visit, get a lot of mix of visitors.
Yeah, just sitting there in the cockpit of your boat watching the traffic come through, I mean, I could do that for weeks, right? It's just fabulous. The town's so cute. And there's a lot going on there, and just it's just a great place to see other boaters from all over the place come through.
Uh-huh.
Not very far from Killarney is Covered Portage Cove, which is only, you go across in your boat, half an hour across in your boat type thing. You get over to Covered Portage Cove, and, you can anchor there in the cove there. There'll be other boats there as well, and hike up the Lacloche Mountains and be up the Lacloche Mountains. And these Lacloche Mountains are right in Killarney Mountain Park, and, of course, they're white quartz. So when you look at the mountains from a distance, you think they're all covered with snow. They're not covered with snow. It's white quartz. And it's just fabulous, like the views. You'll be looking down Lansdowne Channel, and you know, you spend the night in covered Portage Cove. And from there, then you'll go up Lansdowne Channel, and you'll go to Bay Finn. And probably many of your people have heard about the pool. And you go down Bay Finn, down to the end of the pool. At one point, Ralph Evinrude and Francis Langford had a cottage there, and they used to bring their yacht up from Florida every year. And if you want history on that, you can read that on our site. But they used to bring it up every year and stay for the summer. And right up to the point that she died, that boat would come up to that area every year. At the end of Bay Finn is the pool, which is an area you can anchor in. People tend to also anchor along the way because, you know, there are some weeds in the pool. If you want the water clear with no weeds, you just anchor along the way in the fjord, take a dinghy in. But from the pool, you can hike up the mountains there too and get terrific views looking down at the boats in the harbor. And you can go up, hike up to Topaz Lake, which is a pure turquoise lake that's not attached to Georgian Bay, but you hike up the mountain to it. It's a lake on the mountain, and you can swim there. And it's just a beautiful, crystal clear, turquoise, bright, bright turquoise blue lake.
It sounds magical. It's beautiful.
Yeah, they also say it's the best skinny dipping lake in Georgian Bay. So the survey they did, they said that. I don't know what that means, but it's a great place to, you know, just to go for the day. You know, you stay overnight at anchor there, and then from there, you know, you'll decide. You know, you're getting right into the North Channel proper, and you'll decide, you know, whether you go to Little Current maybe to provision, or you know, from there you can. You can head off, you know, in a lot of different directions. Like from the pool, you might go to Little Current, and then to South Benjamin Island, which is a very pretty set of islands. That's about, well, from the pool to Little Current's about 22 miles, and then from Little Current to South Benjamin's is about 18 miles. So these aren't long days, but so it gives you time when you get there to anchor to savor the area and explore a bit and stuff like that, right?
Two questions.
Then from there, you know, you might go to, Bear Drop, or go up to the town of Gore Bay. 10 Yacht Charters runs out of Gore Bay there. And, you know, you get a lot of choices from there on, but you're generally going to work your way west, eventually over to, you know, to Meldrum Bay. And from, you know, you'll make your plans about your timing in terms of when you clear customs and, you know, head over to Michigan. But there's lots of towns there if you want to go into provision along the way. There's lots of anchorages too. Some of them are a little more exposed there. You'll have to be a little careful. Like even the, you know, when you go into the Benjamins, you know, if you get a strong east wind, you know, you're kind of a little bit exposed there. It's a lot more like, you know, when you're down south around Christian Island and stuff out in the open water. You know, you might have to, you watch the weather, and you might move to a different anchorage or something if the weather's shifting on you, right? And
Mark, I have a question. What about
provisioning?
Go ahead. I mean, do you need to be fully stocked before you get into the area? You mentioned provisioning in a few of the towns.
Yeah, well, if the choices I just gave you, like if you, you know, provision at Midland, and then probably the next time you'll pick stuff up will be Parry Sound. And then, you know, you can pick stuff up in Killarney, or you can wait till Little Current, Gore Bay. They all have grocery stores, liquor stores, you know, banks, everything that you'll need, right? But in between, you know, at the anchorage and some of the anchorages, I mean, they'll be very remote, right? So it's you know, some of the places I mentioned to you along the way, you know, you'll feel like you're kind of in the middle of nowhere, but it's very, very scenic. Very sheltered, nice clear water, beautiful swimming water. You know, just kind of, you won't have seen it. The topography is a lot of granite, white quartz, a lot of sculptured rock, you know, that's been sculptured over, you know, by the glaciers, because this area was once covered by glaciers. And, you know, windswept pines, postcard type stuff, you know.
It just sounds absolutely beautiful. Again, Steve, you've been able to see most of it, so that's a good experience for you. It's something that I missed, and I'm really feeling bad about that right now.
Well, it is amazing and worth spending some time in. So.
It's absolutely, you know, anybody who goes through, you know, let's say they leave Midland and hit Parry Sound, and then from Parry Sound they go offshore and hit Killarney, and then from there, you know, anybody who makes those big kind of leapfrogs, you know, they're not going to appreciate at all what it's all about. They just won't know. You know, you really have to, you know, take some time and gung-ho along. And you know, the best thing you can do, you know, if you're in Midland, you get hooked up with somebody local going up, and you know, you can hop up with them. I mean, they'll know all, you know, great spots along the way, and you know, it makes it kind of really easy to travel, right? But if you're a little intimidated by, you know, the channels and going up, there's always other boats to follow. If you're thinking about an anchorage and it's you know, it's not well marked, but you can see it on your charts, and you're kind of a little intimidated about going in there, I mean, put somebody going real slow, put somebody on a bow watch. The water's clear, so you can see down through everything. Just go in real, real slow. But if you're still intimidated by that, even, you know, which everybody kind of gets used to after a few days, best thing is just wait a few minutes, and there'll be another boat coming along, and follow another boat in, right? Because the main anchorages always have boats coming in and out. You know, you can always follow a sailboat in, you know, with a 5-foot keel, and you know, no worries, right?
Safe. I believe Ken McDonald of our sponsor boat, Park Ridge Marina,
yes.
I think he still does chartering. In other words, you stay on your own boat, but Ken and his boat will lead a flotilla through Georgian Bay and the North Channel, so... you can always look up Park Ridge Marinas and see if that's a possibility if you're really, really worried.
Yeah, like Park Ridge, what Ken does is the Park Ridge group, they do both a sail and a powerboat marina, rendezvous once a year.
Uh-huh.
And that powerboat rendezvous was just a week or two ago, and they go up to Killarney.
Uh-huh.
But there is the Canadian Yacht Charters is also up. They charter boats, and they're right up at Gore Bay, you know, right up in the North Channel. There's other charter captains that you could hire to take a flotilla up if you had a flotilla that would take you up through. But, you know, to be honest, you really don't need to worry about that. I mean, these are people, you know, your members are people who have significant cruising experience already just to get up there. They're not going to have a problem. They're going to think they're in heaven when they get up there. They're just going to, you know, take your time and you know, like when in doubt, you know, you'll hook up with other boats along the way too that know the area, because it really is a kind of a summer destination for a lot of boats to come to that area, both U.S. and Canadian boats on the bay. Don't forget, there's a lot of boats in the south end of Georgian Bay that we haven't talked about at all that would be coming out of towns and cities and marinas and stuff there that basically all head north to 30,000 Islands in the North Channel for their summer vacation. They take the whole summer up there, lots of them. And same thing, I mean, you'll have boats from Lake Ontario, Canadian boats and American boats and stuff, coming up to Trent to make that trip just for the purpose of getting to the 30,000 Islands in Georgian Bay too. And you will even see the odd European boat or South American boat in there. I mean, it really is a kind of a Cruising World named it one of the top 10 cruising destinations in the world.
Beautiful.
So it really is a destination area for boaters. And so you can be alone, as I said, at night if you want to be alone in your anchorage. You know, some of these anchorages are huge, and they have, you know, all kinds of little sub bays and areas to be in. Or if you want to be with a crowd, you can be with a crowd. And some of these anchorages, you'll see the local boats. A lot of the local boats like to raft, right? So they'll come in, and you might see 8 or 10 boats rafted together, stern tied to the shore. And they like to raft because they want to be social. You know, you'll also see boats that are tied spidered in right to rock walls with their bumpers out. So it's just like being on a dock, except you're tied along a rock wall, right? You will see a lot of boats sterned in.
Want marinas. There are marinas along the way.
Yeah, you know, if you wanted to come up and do marinas every night, you can do marinas every night. There's enough places along the way to get in that you can do marinas every night. You know, and there's some great marinas. I wouldn't suggest that. Like some of the marinas you want to get into, like you're going to be in a marina at Parry Sound, you're going to be in a marina at Midland or Penetang, you're going to be in a marina, you know, probably at Killarney, unless you just go right through to Covered Portage Cove. You know, there's logical places to stay at a marina, but I think you'd miss a lot if you never kind of anchored out. I mean, even big boats can get into big anchorages and anchor out, right? You know, like 80-footers, whatever you got, there's room for you. And generally in the middle of anchorages, in the bigger anchorages, those boats just, anchor on the hook and swing, right? And there may be, a dozen boats or whatever swinging on the hook in the center of the anchor, just depending on how busy the anchorage is. And then all around the edges, there'll be boats that'll be stern tied. So they anchor and then back in close to the shore and then, tied to a rock or a dead tree. You're not supposed to tie it to live trees, but lots of people do. Also, in some of the park islands, there'll actually be loops in the rock there that you can put your stern line through the loop in the rock and tie your stern to that way.
Okay.
You'll be quite close to the shore, and that's pretty common. You'll see that almost in every anchorage.
Perfect. Mark, where do you come back into the U.S. then?
Well, I haven't gone right into the, to be honest, I haven't gone right into the U.S. from that. But the far end of the island itself is kind of Meldrum Bay, and then you can go if you're on the other side, on the north side. You'll be there's like Blind River, and then from there, you're getting close. There may be some people even going up to the Sioux. I don't know where you're right at the. Where you're right at the locks there. If you were going back to Lake Superior, that's the way you would go, right?
Okay.
And so the locks are right there as well, and you've got, American Customs and Canadian, they're both basically on each side of the locks there, right? So I haven't been through American Customs from that north end. I've just been, Meldrum Bay is the extent of my travels.
Okay, we are just about out of time. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us so that we don't miss the great spots?
The only thing I would say is a number of these marinas also have harbor hosts there. And you mentioned Ken McDonald, and I know that if you're in the Midland area at Bayport or at Hawaii or South Bay Cove the same way, up at Honey Harbor, you need help or even some transportation or ideas about what to do or things like that. They're always glad to help. And you'll find folks really friendly and kind of bend over backwards to do what they can to make your trip a great trip. If you ever had an emergency type thing.
You can find Harbor Host from our webpage, www.greatloop.org. Make sure you're logged in because the Harbor Host is a benefit of membership and only members can find them. But just go to the Members Only tab and scroll down and you can put in Midland, Ontario, and you'll get whatever, wherever you are, put in the town, and you'll get a list of harbor hosts in the area and how far they are from you. So use that tool. It's a great benefit.
Yeah, and people just want to help. If you ever did get into an emergency situation, obviously it's all covered by the Coast Guard there. There's Coast Guard folks that can, get anywhere along there in a hurry. There's a station in Parry Sound. Coast Guard's out, there's always, and some of them are just kind of anchored out in different spots waiting. I often see a Coast Guard ship anchored off of Giant's Tomb, by example. But, if you had a mechanical difficulty or something like that, you can always get a mechanic. If you have to, you arrange a mechanic. You can fly one in a float plane. In Parry Sound Airways, they come pick the guy up, half an hour later, they're on the plane. Half an hour later, they're at your boat, right? So even in very isolated areas, if you really need help, you can always get help, right?
Get help. Okay, well, I think we're just about ready to close. Mark, I thank you tremendously. You're so knowledgeable about Canada and the Northern Bay, the North Channel and the Bay and the islands. Don't forget to visit Mark's webpage, www.boatinggeorgianbay.com. And thank you. Hopefully I'll get to see you again up there on our boat, Mark. Have a great summer.
Yeah, hope you come up sometime.
And everyone else, safe cruising until next week. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.